We're going to look at a situation this morning out of Scripture where disaster was flirted with and ultimately came upon the people of Israel. Let me define flirted with for those who have forgotten. Flirting is the process of trying to get close to someone. Or in the case we're going to look at, maybe you could say something, as in a nation of people. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, the southern nation split off from Israel, the northern kingdom. He and the king of Israel, Ahab, began, if you will, flirting with each other as leaders of the people. For Jehoshaphat, it was flirting with disaster. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Now, Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor. He allied himself by marriage with Ahab. Some years later, he went down to visit Ahab at Samaria. And Ahab slaughtered many sheep and oxen for him and the people who were with him and induced him to go up against Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" And he said to him, "I am as you are, and my people as your people, and we will be with you in the battle." Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel assembled the prophets, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for God will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imla." But Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, Imla's son." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes. And they were sitting at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, made horns of iron for himself and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans until they are consumed." All the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and succeed, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Behold, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. So let your word be like one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what my God says, that I will speak." When he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" He said, "Go up and succeed, for they will be given into your hand." Then the king said to him, "How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" So he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace." Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right and on his left. The Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said while another said that, said this while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, how? He said, I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he said, you are to entice him and prevail also. Go and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of these your prophets, for the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, how did the spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you? Micaiah said, behold, you will see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself. Then the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely." Micaiah said, "If you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me." And he said, "Listen, all you people." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you will put on your robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the captains of his chariots, saying, "Do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone." So when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, "It is the king of Israel." And they turned aside to fight against him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. When the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from him. I think my microphone, there it is. When the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. A certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of the chariot, "Turn around, take me out of the fight, for I am severely wounded." The battle raged that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot in front of the Arameans until the evening, and at sunset he died. They were flirting with disaster. Are you flirting with disaster? You are flirting with disaster when you begin to build alliances with the wrong people. Be careful building close relationships. Do not be bound to an unbeliever. What partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? You know the history. God's people had split. The kingdom had divided. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah in the south. Ahab was king of Israel in the north. Jehoshaphat was considered a good king. It's interesting as you look at the history of Judah that they would have a pretty good king and then a pretty bad king. Then they would have a pretty good king and a pretty bad king. The northern kingdom, on the other hand, just had bad kings. And Ahab may have been the worst of the worst. What made Jehoshaphat good was that he did not seek the Baals. He had followed his father David of earlier days. He had sought the God of his father David. He had followed the Lord's commandments, and he did not act as Israel's king. And the Lord blessed him. That's what he just very quickly mentions that in the first couple verses. Now, Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor. If you go back into chapter 17, you see that one of the things that allowed him to have great riches and honor was that nobody was attacking him. And guess what? The Lord had control of that. But here Ahab is struggling, an evil man, and he had sold himself to do evil. And Jehoshaphat blesses. You know, there was something the other day that said, you know, if these are the phrases from the South, and guess what the one for North Carolina is? Bless their heart. Bless his heart. As I think it was Shonda Pierce said one time, we saw her, she said, the rest of that is, bless their heart, they're so dumb. Well, you could say that about Jehoshaphat. For Ahab, for going with Ahab. Because here Jehoshaphat was doing well, and he allies himself with Ahab through children's marriage. I think it was his son married Ahab's daughter. I might have that reversed. And now he's gone down there to talk with him. And the result was tragic. Jehoshaphat goes down there. Ahab talks him into going to battle with him. And Jehoshaphat essentially rationalized things. Do you ever rationalize anything? Now, don't lie. But he rationalized by saying, I am as you are, my people, your people. And maybe what he could not do was tell himself the truth to recognize the apostasy. They were family now. It's hard sometimes to tell yourself the truth about yourself, isn't it? It's hard sometimes to tell yourself the truth about your children, isn't it? And here Jehoshaphat is. He had no business marrying his son into the family. He had no business leading Judah to war with Ahab. And no amount of rationalization made those alliances right. Have you ever tried to mix oil and water? They say if you go to the Arizona Memorial in Pearl Harbor, some 75 years later, you can still see oil on the surface of the water. You might be able to mix them together, but they don't stay that way. They separate. Just as building alliances with the wrong people do not last. Who are your closest friends? Who are the people that you pour your heart out to? Well, as a believer, it should not be an unbeliever. Now, let me challenge you again to pick three people. Three people as best you know that do not know the Lord. I want to challenge you to pray for them. I want to challenge you to befriend them, to be nice to them, to be encouraging to them. But I am not asking nor challenging you to build a close, close relationship. If you're talking about dating and then marriage, be careful. Date and marry only believers if you're a believer. I just was reminded the other day, one of my previous churches, there was a dear sweet lady in our church that was there every time the door opened. You could tell by the way she lived her life that she was a believer. Her husband, unfortunately, was known as the town drunk. And she said, one day she and I were talking, and she just was pouring out her heart and talking about all the misery and everything. And she said, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to marry a non-believer. Well, let me tell you, ignorance is no excuse when God's word is pretty clear. But build relationships, build alliances with like-minded people. If not, you are flirting with disaster. You're flirting with disaster when you begin to build alliances with the wrong people and you only listen to what you want to hear. Pay attention to godly counsel, both from Scripture and from others. Especially listen to godly counsel that challenges you in your thinking. Maybe Jehoshaphat began to have second thoughts. So he asked to inquire first for the word of the Lord. So Ahab gets his 400 prophets that are on the payroll. And they come out and they say, oh yes, do whatever you want. God's going to hand it over. Everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. Jehoshaphat still wasn't sold. Maybe he realized the mark of a true prophet of God is to stand alone. And he says, is there anybody else? Well, yes, there's that Micaiah, but I don't like him. He doesn't like me, I don't like him. All he ever does is say bad things about me. Well, can we talk to him? And so they go and get Micaiah, and Micaiah gets coached up by the messenger. And Micaiah, though, speaks what God says to speak. He speaks the truth from God. But Ahab takes it personally. He reacts and doesn't listen. If you went to a doctor tomorrow and the doc not feeling well and the doctor said, "Oh, you're fine," would you believe him? If you went back in a couple days, this time still not feeling well, and a large mass had popped up somewhere on your body, and you said the same thing, "Oh, you're fine," would you believe him? If you went back a third time, still not feeling well, the mass had gotten larger, and you had severe pain, and he said, "Oh, you're fine," would you believe him? If the doctor called in his associate, told him what he thought of you, and the second one agreed, would you believe him? Or would you want another independent opinion? Who do you listen to? Will you heed rebuke, constructive criticism? Well, if you don't, the Proverbs don't have anything good to say about you. Kids should listen carefully and respectfully to all the parents have to say. And that lesson starts when they are old enough to begin to defy you. Oh, they're so cute. Oh, they're so sweet. Yeah, well, you let them start going this way and when they ought to be going this way, and they're going to just keep going that way. So make sure they listen. Spouses should listen and heed what the other says. And that's why the character of friends is so important. Do your friends have enough wisdom about them to confront you or disagree with you when you are wrong? Will you listen? If not, you are flirting with disaster. You are flirting with disaster when you begin to build alliances with the wrong people. You only listen to what you want to hear, and you don't think God takes rebellion seriously. What was it we used to say when we were kids? God is taking names. I'm going to be taking names. Haven't you heard that? Well, God is taking names. He does take rebellion seriously. Flirting with sin is flirting with disaster. Micaiah speaks, and we are granted a glimpse into heaven because God himself crafted the deception to take Ahab out. He got involved, for he is a personal God. You know, it strikes me that of all the world religions that I understand their belief systems, the only one that truly teaches that you can know the God that created everything is found right here in the Bible. You look at Islam, you look at Buddhism, you look at all these others, and if they speak or teach of anything that there is a supreme being, like the Muslims, they teach that he's so distant, that he's so far off. No. The Lord God, who manifested himself in Jesus Christ, became God in the flesh, is intimately involved with us. And here he is dealing with Ahab. And you would think that Jehoshaphat would turn and run, but he doesn't. And when Ahab sets him up for the kill, did you catch that? "You go in your robes, but I'm going to go in disguise." Say what? And he does it. But they figure out. Ramoth-Gilead warriors, soldiers figure out, that's not who we want. And it says that somebody took an arrow just kind of at random. It struck me when I was reading that is what I pray when I go deer hunting. Lord, just let this random bullet hit the right spot. And it did. It said, came in through the armor. And Ahab dies. Because God takes sin. Because God takes rebellion seriously. It's April 18th this year. It's the tax filing deadline. It is fast approaching, and on it probably more lying and distorting of the truth will be done than on any other day the whole calendar year. I don't know about you, but I live in mortal fear of the IRS. I report things I know that I wouldn't have to because there's not a paper trail. And I don't make stuff up to make the bill come out better, even though I know I could. I know I could. I do that, that's the way I react, because I know they take things seriously. So I do. Some people don't fear them, I know. Maybe they trust the big sky little bullet. Oh, there's, 150 million tax returns? I don't know. I'm making that number up, somewhere in that range. They won't find mine. Well, okay. This morning, answer this question. Do you think God takes rebellion seriously? Is there any part of your life you know you are in rebellion against God in? God says to meditate on His Word, do you? You must know it. You must know it to have it memorized, do you? Parents, do you take rebellion from your kids as seriously as God does? If you let them get by with everything, then they're going to think that God is going to let them get by with everything. I got to tell you right now, He's not. He's not. In a devotional entitled A Journey, Life in Real Time, the author asked this: see where wrong alliances lead? See what happens when I sell out to the world, when my heart pursues things above God? I can get sucked inexorably into destruction God has carefully crafted. And how effective do I think I will be praying against the spirit of deception when that spirit was designed and assigned by God Himself? That's why I am told to flee evil, run away, separate myself from the world and its systems, lest the explosion intended to defeat Ahab takes me out too. This morning, are you flirting with disaster? Will you run from evil instead of flirting with that disaster? Are you flirting with disaster because of the alliances you have made? Are you flirting with disaster because you only listen to people who tell you what you want to hear? Are you flirting with disaster because you don't think God takes rebellion seriously? Are you flirting with disaster?